You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, the 21st of the month, 2022. As you heard on the network news a moment ago, Putin making some statements saying, we still consider Ukraine part of our country. It's the Soviet Union, SSR, all over again. And, of course, we're getting word constantly. Drum beats for the White House. It could happen anytime. We have some idea that there might be something happening fairly soon. NATO allies are concerned by the fact that Zelensky is threatening to leave Ukraine. Listen. When that guy packs up and leaves, it's the same as in Taliban. Once they know he's gone, open door, come on in. And the forces aren't going to put up a fight. Why are they going to stay and fight and die for a guy that's left the country? They'll just be thankful if they're not executed in the process. Russia has already made it clear that they have a list of Ukrainians on a hit list, though. So there will be bloodshed, one way or the other. Now, Biden, I want to bring this, and weather, by the way, still remains a factor, they say, in that area, which is understandable, because you've got these heavily armored vehicles. It's pretty tough to move them around. It's a wet, muddy time of year. But it's not just that. It's aerial reconnaissance, things of that nature. So the weather could have some major impact. The mud, even though Biden continues to insist it could happen anytime, many of them, a chairman for the Institute of Study of War and senior analyst, says they're trying to begin operations before the soggy ground frozen by the winter begins to thaw, because it's going to get worse. It is frozen in some areas now, but for how much longer? So that's another issue. And then, of course, what kind of visuals can they get by satellite or from air? That's going to be another consideration. When you're going to war tactic like this, you have to take all of it into consideration. As you know, D-Day got postponed for the same reason. Now, the other thing that's come up, and I brought this up the other day, and I here's the way it's written. Biden does about-face on travel plans with Europe on the brink of war. Did I not raise that question the other day, that he was headed out to Marine One saying, answering questions, it could happen any day, we don't have anything else saying, anything. And he's getting on Chopper One, he's going to go to Pennsylvania, go have a party. Why the hell are you not in your bunker and in the secure room watching and monitoring? That's what you as Commander-in-Chief should be doing. I don't know, you just wanted to make a trip to Delaware. But, I guess the pressure got to be so much. He was to go to Delaware Sunday to attend a family-related issue. And then said, I'm going to cancel. I'm going to stay in D.C. This guy has no concept. We're going to get into that later this hour. And how the Democrats think, we can still win. We got all these great things going. You don't have anything great going. And everything you do touch turns to not gold, not even tarnished gold, not even fool's gold. It turns to, you know, the stuff you can smell sometimes. Oh, yeah. And we can smell it. So with Putin confirming they're going to recognize the independence of Ukraine and the breakaway regions, that's going to help those folks. They're looking for more help. I love this story we had on the other day. It's beginning to pick up steam again. South China News again reporting Multiple teams have been assembled to brainstorm methods of coping with the economic fallout from zero COVID policies and draconian lockdowns. This is in China. It's kind of ironic, do you not think? Oh, and then you got this story, the Washington Free Beacon. Boots on the ground, Alexander gave this to me. He said experts have now done a study to see how COVID-19 has highlights health disparities, and they begin to look at the animal kingdom and looking at the animal kingdom for privilege, inequity, intergenerational wealth, or things of that nature. I mean, young pine cone rich squirrels, they're doing better than the old ones. Just so you know.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said just a few minutes ago over on the Today Show that it could be hours now that Russia invades Ukraine. We've heard this from the President of the United States. We've heard this from the Secretary of State that an attack is imminent. Is that your analysis as well at the Pentagon?
It very much is. Exactly. I mean, we've been saying for a while now, Willie, it could happen any day. Today could be that day.
And what tells you that?
Well, again, I think it's a combination of the intelligence that we've been seeing. Quite frankly, it's also right out there in plain sight, Willie. Just look at what Richard was just reporting from the eastern part of Ukraine. Look at what you can see on commercial satellite imagery. They continue to move these forces closer to the border, uncoiling, as Secretary Austin put it in Lithuania the other day. So we're seeing it across a range of different sources.
Well, it sounds like any day now. Remember, it's supposed to be Wednesday. This is Friday. It is the 21st. Did you hear me say Feb 22 a moment ago? That's what Joe, my board operator, says I said. I'm going to insist I didn't. Unless you got a tape. You have a tape. Never mind. I won't do that. It's 21st. My bad. My bad. I'm just trying to rush us along here. But what I like about this, imminent any day, they said Wednesday, and Russia, on one hand, was saying, we think Biden's trying to stir us into this. And others were saying, give the guy a chance to save some face and just find some arrangement, and he'll back everything off, and maybe you can avoid this. Let me share this with you. This says about everything. Says, it's titled, Where You Been, Joe? Ukraine says, and I'm quoting now a story that has appeared on one of the network outlets from their state media. They ran an editorial 2 days ago arguing that Ukrainians are unfazed by the war hysteria, as they describe it, gripping many Western politicians and media outlets, because Russian forces have been in their country for 8 years. 8 years. Crimea. In fact, in their lengthy article, an editorial aiming to convey to the Western audiences, including journalists, what's on the mind of Ukrainian people these days, why they have no fear, what's the main motivation driving the nation. This is their reporting. The gist of the editorial was that life continues as normal for Ukrainians. Now, I had on the other day Randy Mayfield, a missionary from the Central Presbyterian of St. Louis, and he spent a lot of time in Ukraine, was there this last December, has been talking to people, talked to a pastor there and said, I am worried, my people are worried, but we're not leaving. As long as my flock is here, I'm going to stay. So there are some people genuinely concerned of what could happen next. And they have a right to be. And it's not just a matter of if it's an invasion, but if they start dropping bombs and mortars into residential areas, we're not talking about casualties of military forces. We're talking about civilians. Collateral damage, as they like to sometimes call it. But this editorial goes on to say that life continues as normal for Ukrainians, who are certainly aware of the Russian threat, but not obsessed with it. We have been pretty obsessed with it, this nation. You agree? I mean, I've done several stories on it. I don't consider I'm obsessed with it. A lot of other things I am, but I just try to keep you up to speed on it. I'm no longer, quote, a newscaster, but I try to make sure you're on top of breaking developments, trends, things of this nature. And then I add, because it's my radio show, it has my name on it, Larry Connors, I add my comments. Like it or not, you're going to get them. Oh, you don't like it? You switch the channel. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye. But I know many are not. Many, many more are joining. As one wrote the other day, said, finally, finally, someone who has spine and backbone. Oh, I got that. I got that. Give me another fifth of Jack and I'll show you even more. Nah, never mind. Let's go back. The editorial by the Ukrainian outlet goes on to say, Ukrainians are simply not responding with great alarm to each tidbit of news about Russian activity. The country's capital, along with other major cities, remains vibrant, lives a normal life with children going to school, businesses, offices remaining open to clients. No one's taping their windows in anticipation of bombing. They're not digging trenches in the suburbs to meet Russian tanks. Now, this is the editorial page. I assume they're probably right. I know some of the pictures I've seen there. They had a festive day on the 15th, remember? The day they're supposed to be invaded. They were all out waving signs and everything. They're only 2 hours from the border of Brussels, where we know 100,000+ Russian troops are gathered. And with the troops are heavy mechanized weapons. They go on to say the key passage in the article needled Western media for paying so little attention to Ukraine, while Russian-backed separatists were waging a brutal war in the eastern part of the country, perking up only when the narrative of Russian invasion kicking off World War III fired at their imagination. Now, we've had discussions with this. Those of you who follow this program, I had a guest on, Stephen Breyer, from the Center for Security Policy a while back, and we were getting into this in particular because inside Ukraine, you might not know that, but inside Ukraine, especially on the eastern edge, closer to Crimea, there are factions that want to break away. They want to go back to Russia. They are more Russian than Ukrainian, and they have been supplied arms and military by the Russians. So they're ready at any moment's notice. They've been doing anyway. But then here's the piece that I think really should stand out for Joe Biden. Are you listening, Joe? Hello, Joe? Hello? They point out there are 8 years of hate, tons of information dirt, Russian malign narratives shamelessly poured into the Ukrainians from the internet and local pro-Russian TV channels, generally unrestricted because Obama and Biden did nothing when he went into Crimea, when Putin went into Crimea. They sent no weapons, nothing to shoot things down, nothing. They sent blankets. Well, that is appreciated. It gets cold. So Biden now is reaping what he and Obama sold 8 years ago. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. So here's a question and answer again to John Kirby, the Pentagon press secretary. Listen to this, please.
Do you believe there's still time and space for diplomacy, or is this inevitable now?
We believe there's still every effort should be expended to pursue a diplomatic path. And so, yes, we think there's still an opportunity here for Mr. Putin to do the right thing and for us to engage in continued diplomacy to not have another war in Europe, certainly not one in Ukraine. But that time does appear to be shrinking, given what we're seeing the military do along that border with Ukraine and in Belarus, down in Crimea and in the Black Sea.
Shrinking. And by the way, that remark was recorded before Putin's address this afternoon when he said Ukraine is ours. He basically said that. He said Ukraine at this point is part of the Russian country. Not officially, but he said it. So he's already taking a look at the long-range picture. A German reporter asked the defense secretary, our defense secretary, the question was pretty clear, and this tells you a lot. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, holding a press conference at NATO headquarters, claimed there were more Russian troops now at the border with Ukraine, not fewer, as Russia has claimed. And he said they're withdrawing some forces, but that's not on the contrary. They've just been rearranged along the border. We know they're moving closer. So a German national public radio broadcaster asked for evidence. I understand you have evidence there's more troop building rather than troop withdrawal. What evidence do you have to build more public trust? How would you consider at one point to make more evidence you have publicly available? Austin said, we've been very transparent. We'll continue to be transparent. We don't see this as a competition of narratives. You know what you do? Read between the lines? We don't have no stinking proof, but we think. If it goes down, they have painted a scenario that amounts to a massive, massive bloodletting. The result of the invasion.
We've heard some projections of how bloody and ugly it could be for the Ukrainian people, given that they are outmatched just in sheer size of military. What would be the response from NATO? What would be the response from the United States?
The initial response, and the president has been very clear about this, Willie, will be severe economic consequences, the likes of which we have not put in place before, that would have a dramatic impact on Russia's economy and Russia's ability to administer its own finances. And I think that would be echoed by other countries as well. Number two, and you saw all this when Secretary Austin was over in Europe just this last week, we will continue to examine possibilities inside the alliance to shore up our defense. Defensive capability. So it is possible that you could see the Pentagon order additional forces, even from the States or certainly from within Europe. I mean, we'll do what we need to do to make sure that we are able, as the president has told us to be ready to do, to defend every inch of NATO territory.
So with that in mind, every inch of NATO territory, again, Ukraine is not NATO, but it borders NATO. And bombs have a way of crossing a line. They don't recognize, oh, this is a border. Don't cross that border. If wrong numbers are computed or something goes awry, it's friendly fire, whatever you want to call it. Saski, White House reporter, was asked, will the U.S. provide us any evidence? Because there are many people who are skeptical of the events that took place and what might happen to civilians, as we saw in Afghanistan. So we're moving in closer to 2022, the midterm elections. Look at what's in front of Biden. He's got this thing going on now, and it may still be going on at that point. May be resolved to some extent, but still holding. He's got defund police people still out there yelling, and crime going up, 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 up. He's got inflation at a 40-year high. We still have a supply chain blockage going on. We have people being mandated to get vaccines when they said, I don't need it and I'm not going to do it, and they're losing their jobs for it. And we still have kids in masks when we're told repeatedly masks don't work and they're harming our children. Well, Patrick Sean Maloney, Democrat of the caucus. On the other side, I'll let you hear three different things he offers. He says what we must do to win the 2022 election. He's got some ideas. I want to let you hear them. Please hold your laughter until he finishes. Please stand by.
Say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You got to sell. You have to assume that no one knows anything. And you need to, in clear, simple terms, like a human being, tell them what the heck we've been doing, because it's good stuff. We're going to rebuild roads and bridges and airports and water systems. We're going to get broadband to kids that don't have it. We are going to get every lead drinking water pipe out of every system in America. I mean, my goodness, we're investing in our own country.
This is the Democrat plan. That is Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat, New York. Good Irishman, no doubt. I'm sure he's looking forward to St. Paddy's Day. He is the chair of the DCCC. That's the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. They decide where campaign money is going to go and to what races, which races they have a chance to win and which they might as well throw it away because it's not going to buy them anything. Reminding you, we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Some of you, as you were watching, you probably saw something happen with the computer there. That's my mistake. I forgot to do it earlier, and you might have seen me taking a sip of something out of this little thing right here. It's not alcoholic, I'll promise you that. But supposedly it could be more energy to finish this program, because it's a heavy program. But Sean Patrick Maloney, might as well call him Baloney, they've got so much nonsense they've got to try to sell to the American public about how great this administration has been. They've got 25 Democrats that are not even going to bother running. They know it's a losing proposition. And they don't want Biden to come anywhere near their campaign if they are running. He's like kryptonite with Superman. Keep him away. He's not any good for us. He's damaging to us. But let's listen again as Sean Patrick Maloney, I'm sorry, Maloney, describes about all the things that we are having happen with this country. And before he starts, let me remind you, our inflation rate is at the highest it's been in 40 years.
Look at the jobs we're going to bring back, the manufacturing jobs with the Competes Act, which is a bipartisan investment in bringing our supply chains and our manufacturing jobs back to America in the industries of the future. And how about the rescue plan? My goodness, you saved every business, small business in America. You surged support to our cops and our firefighters with the rescue plan. No Republicans voted for that, by the way.
They like to add that in, that Republicans did not vote for a plan to help give more money to police. You know why? Because it was wrapped into so much other nonsense. They said, cut it out. Just come up with a plan to help police. We're for it. but you got it tied to all these other little strings, tentacles everywhere. They didn't do a damn thing to help save small businesses. They ordered them shut down. Unless you're Nancy Pelosi and you're going into a hair salon to get your hair done, they were allowed to be open for that. Or if you're the French Laundry, the very special eating place in Napa Valley, they were able to stay open. No, they didn't do anything to help mom and pop businesses, and they have not yet. And the Build Back Better plan has nothing going to those businesses. And then they want to tell you that they're taking care of you and your kids. Listen to this.
You also supported the help for schools that are now allowing parents to be in control of their kids' education to kind of get back to normal. All of those things didn't just happen. They were three. It's a hat trick of historic measures that the Democratic Congress and this president have done in just 1 year. And my goodness, go out and tell people about it. And Joe Biden's good at that. He should go tell the story.
No, he shouldn't. And he's not good at it. Hat trick. He reaches in and he pulls out a dead rabbit. That's his hat trick. They were the ones fighting for parents showing up at school board meetings, remember? They're the ones who sicked the Attorney General and the FBI on parents complaining at school board meetings about curriculum, CRT teaching. More to come. Stand by. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On the day of the House vote, Ocasio-Cortez stood up in the chamber, again wearing all white. She looked like a prophet, or a medium tapping a deep well of popular fury.
Radiant and white in her gown, bathed in the glow of holy righteousness, a prophet for our time. Imagine Isaiah, but with nails to match the handbag. That's how New York Magazine describes Sandy Cortez. And that's weird because we live in this country, too, and that's not at all how we remember the moment. Here's a clip from the speech the book is referring to. Look at this person and ask yourself if you can feel God's presence.
But we have to go into this vote eyes wide open. What did the Senate majority fight for? One of the largest corporate bailouts with as few strings as possible in American history.
A prophet? Or proof that Adderall abuse is more common than we admit? We'll let you decide. We will tell you that the editors at New York Magazine are highly impressed by the way Ocasio-Cortez looks. They think she's hot.
They think she's hot. That was some of Tucker Carlson talking about a new book coming out by New York Times. I don't even have the name of the book here. I could care less about it. I will guarantee you I'm not spending a dime on it. Unless I'm going to take it to the target range and put some 9mm bullets through it. Through the book. Don't misunderstand me. Through the book. Can't be that big. I mean, but they are really proclaiming that she's almost like Jesus Christ and she's a prophet. They absolutely just fall over themselves for this woman. Can you name any legislation she's introduced that has passed through? Any? Oh, she and Bernie, they were going to all get together, the squad, and they were going to do all this stuff, but none of it's really happened, has it? And I just wonder if she's being compared to Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm the last one to be compared to Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I don't deserve to be anywhere near dressed in white and be considered a prophet. But I also have doubts. Let me just put it that way. I have doubts about her. But let's say Let's say she is. I wonder what the squad, the Muslim members, think of her suddenly being given a gold wreath and a signet ring that says Jesus Christ on it. Instead of AOC, it says JC. I just wonder. The New York Times is just, these guys, I can't imagine how they can sit around and come up with such drivel. Drivel. Here's another example. Listen.
We will tell you that the editors at New York Magazine are highly impressed by the way Ocasio-Cortez looks. They think she's hot. It's a major theme in the book. And in fact, it's a major theme with Ocasio-Cortez herself. She talks about her beauty constantly. Just a few weeks ago, she let us know how hard it is that everyone wants to sleep with her all the time. What a burden. It's like living as a nudist in the Dallas Cowboys locker room. Men are so aroused by her TikTok videos, she can barely get through a day. Yet she does her job anyway. That's why she's a hero. The burden of sexiness weighs heavily on her sleek and tawny shoulders, but she bears up under it. Listen to New York Magazine's account.
Ocasio-Cortez would have been well aware of her impact on others. Her rhetoric could be confrontational, and her politics countercultural, but her appearance conformed to society's conventions. With her wide-apart eyes, arched brows, and tawny complexion, she could have modeled for a skincare line, and in fact, later capitalized on these assets by shooting a makeup tutorial for Vogue.
You know, the more I listen to that, maybe I am more like her. I couldn't have done Vogue. I could have done the Marlboro Man. I mean, and I have so many people wanting to sleep with me, I can't sleep at night. Do you hear this drivel? This is what they write as so-called journalism? Now, write it and go ahead and write it. I don't care. Label it fiction. Label it fabrication. Label it mind-altering, whatever you want to do. But it's not anywhere near a description of what she's supposed to be doing. But don't worry. AOC has it made. When she finishes with Congress, one way or the other, either she's booted out or she decides to move on, she's going to walk right into one big cushy job. One day she's running Cafe Olé. I can't even order at Starbucks. I don't even know what to order. I said, just give me something black. Give me black coffee. I don't even know how to order that stuff. But she was a barista. I'll give her credit for what she's achieved, but she will milk it. No pun intended with the Cafe Olé. But still, the way they're doing this thing is just over the top. But that's all right. They will never, I mean, for all the time that Mrs. Trump came down the jetway of Air Force One or appeared anywhere, extremely fashionable, stunning, and they were always looking for a way to pick her apart. So Don Lemon decided the other night that the problem we have in this country right now is we have too many people feel free to speak hate. Well, I wonder where some of that originates. He's starting with, though, in this case, he's talking about the case down in Georgia, the hate crime trial of three white men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery, a black man. And he uses that as a jumping off point to say that this is indicative of what's happening in this nation. This is an example of the hate in this nation and what they were calling him. And he said, and even some of the testimony inside the courtroom, he said, I'm not even going to get into the testimony. I won't do it, but it's atrocious. Just listen.
I'm not actually going to say the word. I usually like saying that word when it's appropriate. Not like saying the word, that's the wrong way to put it. I usually think it's important to say that word when you are pointing out someone who's using it in an offensive way. But I understand that it offends some people to hear that word. So that's always a tug of war for a news anchor or for someone like Laura, who's an attorney who has to recite it in documents in the courtroom, or I have to recite what's happened in the courtroom or someone has done in a news story. So just be cognizant of when I say N-word tonight, the person or people actually wrote the actual word and they said the actual word. They didn't say N-word. They said the actual word.
I got it. I know what you mean by it. You mean Nero, right? Not Nero? Naomi? Well, we know what the N-word is. But if you're so hell-bent on putting a stop to it, and if you think that's an example of people feeling the right to speak hate, why are you not on the black artists who use that N-word like they're dropping pennies? And I don't want to hear this, well, because I'm black and you're black, we can use a word. No. It's either bad or it's not. Simple as that. Oh, you and your sister, you may call each other a W word. You think that's okay? So again, let's go back to Don Lemon Fruitcake as he's trying to make his analogy.
We're going to talk about racism rearing its ugly head. Ugly head in a courtroom in Georgia. Disturbing evidence in the federal hate crime trial of three men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery. Texts and social media messages from two of the men full of racist insults. Offensive language you might not expect to hear in an American courtroom in 2022, as Laura just pointed out, handed down from generation to generation to generation. And even armed with all that evidence, the prosecution still has to prove the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, who was chased down and shot to death in broad daylight while he was jogging in a Georgia neighborhood. They have to prove that brutal crime was motivated by hate. But this is more than a legal story, though it is that. It is that. It is about justice for all, black, white, brown.
He actually threw the word white in there. And then he gets into the point he's trying to make, that too many Americans feel free to speak hate, and they're the ones infecting the country. We'll get it there.
But it's also about the America that we live in. The America where every day there are people who feel completely free to speak hate, to text it to each other. Like, they don't do it right out in the open. Sometimes they do, but usually they don't. To make jokes loaded with it, to laugh about it. It's the kind of everyday hate that doesn't always end up in court, but it's there just the same, infecting our country.
And he admits it's offensive language. But you remember when he said in the beginning, he said, I'm not going to actually say the word. I usually like saying that word. Well, not like saying the word. That's the wrong way to put it. Oh, you put it exactly the way you meant it, didn't you? Let me tell you about a case coming up that underscores hate.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, question for you. Are you going to watch the Olympics tonight? No, you're not, unless you're watching a replay of something. They're over. Now, there was talk, of course, that maybe Russia would invade Ukraine during the Olympics. There was talk that the Chinese might kidnap some American players. Well, to my knowledge, I don't know if they're all back in the States. But none of that happened. And I admire the athletes for what they were training to accomplish, and some of them did not get a chance to do it because they got quarantined at the last minute, couldn't pass a COVID test. It was a total mess in many ways. And being held in a communist Chinese country where they're carrying out genocide and with corporate sponsorship from the American corporate group, Coca-Cola and others like that, who were so insistent that it was unfair to Georgians the way laws were being changed for voting that they voted to move the World Series, or wanted the World Series moved out of Atlanta, and said nothing about any of that stuff during this time. It's finally over. And I hope we've learned we will never ever again go back to a communist dictator's China location where they're committing suicide. So how did it end up? Norway got 16 gold medals. Germany got a dozen. China got 9. The U.S. got 8. So did Sweden and the Netherlands. Russia ended up getting 6. France, 5. Overall count for the U.S., 25 gold medals, Norway 37, China only 15. So it's over. It was almost a farce in a way, the way it was done. And a lot of people did not bother watching. If I'm sitting somewhere playing, I'll admit, playing a poker game or something, and somebody's got it on the TV, well, I'm up there looking. And I admire those out there participating. You have to. The conditioning they have to go through to get ready for it, to do it. I particularly impressed by the biathlon, where you have to ski and then get to either a prone or standing position and fire shots. You get 5 shots only. Controlling your breathing. I've been in a situation like trying to control your breathing and squeeze it off so you get the trigger and just the right impact. I admire that. Much less skiing that far to get there. But there was one of the races that this is kind of a cringeworthy moment, mostly for men. Women, you may want to listen to this. Men, maybe you don't want to listen to it. They were having a 50K mass start race at the Beijing Games. They shortened it to 30 because it's so cold. So they're for an hour and 16 minutes, they're traversing this course in howling, freezing winds. They're cross-skiing, and they're wearing very thin, light material because they don't want to have anything that would weigh them down. They want to make it as light as possible because they're and the organizers were worried about frostbite during the Saturday race. That's why they decided to delay it by an hour and then shorten it by 20 kilometers. Now, when I say 50 kilometers, well, they ended up going 30. Let me get that. I want to make sure I have it correctly because I'm not very good at math. You know that. 30 kilometers equals, all right, some of you guys in miles, that would equal something like 18 and a half miles. 18 and a half miles. It's almost going to be double that amount. But it was so cold, they delayed it 20 minutes, and then they decided to shorten it. And all these guys are out there, the wind is howling, it's cold as it can be. They got thin suits, underlayers worn by the racers, plasters to cover their faces, their ears, offering very little protection. One of the guys finished 37th. And he had a problem. As he said, it was one of the worst competitions I've been in. It was just about battling through. You can guess which body part was a little bit frozen when I finished. I don't think we can. And he had to use a heat pack to kind of thaw things out a little bit in the Netherlands, so to speak. Talk about shrinkage. I think I'll leave that race to someone else next time. As always, I appreciate you listening. We cover a variety of subjects, as you can tell. I thank you for sharing with others to get them to listen. You are helping this program explode. I mean literally explode. We are live right now, getting ready to sign off, but we'll be back live next week. Thank you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.